It's October 27th, 2016, and I'm incandescent with rage at this betrayal. I'm Colin Detmar.
I'm Jesse Cox, and this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast.
Jesse, how can you stand this betrayal? We've been betrayed.
Oh, baby, I just can't stand this betrayal.
Can you believe...
I can't believe...
that the top four teams in the American qualifier for the Boston Major aren't really American?
I don't know. I haven't looked, but God, what a scandal.
It's so... Okay, Dota fans, you're idiots. Do you think that all the fucking Anaheim Angels come from Anaheim? Do you think that the fucking... What is the name of that stupid Boston hockey team? What are... Like, teams recruit people from elsewhere. That's how fucking teams work. I'm sorry, this is like a hot-button issue on Reddit right now, everybody being like, oh, these guys aren't really, like, oh, this guy's from Canada, these aren't really American teams. It's like, you fucking idiots. I'm sorry, that's harsher than I normally am.
Whatever.
But, like, use your goddamn heads.
Hey, we'll be the podcast that, like, is the voice for a reason. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, the people we send to the Olympics, a lot of them weren't born here. Guess what? That's how it goes. The U.S. soccer team, hoo boy.
Yep.
We recruit a lot of good players from elsewhere. That's just how professional competition works.
I mean, people, like, honestly expect that in the in the American qualifiers, you expect, like, all North American players? I don't know...
I guess they think for it to be a North American qualifier, all the players should be from North America, I guess. And it's like, well, okay, first of all, they actually don't mean that, because then they say, like, that Canada doesn't count, and Canada's part of North America pretty definitively. I just think they're idiots. I don't know. I was baffled to see that on the front page of r/Dota2 getting a lot of support. But that is not the only betrayal that we have been dealt this week, Jesse.
Can we talk about it for a minute?
Sure.
It's the America's qualifier, that's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
And the top four are Complexity? Wait.
Yeah.
Complexity, okay, they're mostly Americans. FDL...
There are some Europeans on there, like Limp and stuff.
Complexity shows Justin Muzy, Freak Melons, and Cancel. Cancel is Romanian. FDL has all Americans except for
Limp left.
Bisa, who is from Great Britain. Team NP, three Canadians, two Americans. And Team Freedom is three Americans, two Canadians. So
what are we even doing, really? Why even try? Fuck America, right? It's over.
Is that really what people are mad that the United States...
Uh-huh.
Americas? Because I clearly see an S at the end of this, the Boston Major 2016 Americas qualifier.
You tell them, Jesse.
Those are both, I mean, there's a North and a South one of those.
And in fact, also, North America is more than just the United States.
Although, hold up, Colin, I will say that the Open American, okay, let's maybe backtrack a little bit. There's two Dota teams in the Open qualifier. They did not play well, I'm sure they played well, but they did not, like, place well in the group stage, and they have a Macedonian, a Serbian, one Swede, I think that's Finland, Romania, Croatia, Serbia, and I don't know what that last one is, honestly.
If the organization is based in America, it doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, no, I agree completely, but, like, we should maybe, like, back...
We should be
backtrack
a little more fair.
Yeah.
Making fun of it. Okay, that's... All right, that's worth saying.
Okay.
That's worth saying.
I don't... But... Fucking whatever, man.
Yeah, totally. But...
Go ahead.
Did you know that we've been betrayed another time since we last recorded?
Uh-oh.
So there was made it to, like, second or third on the top of r/Dota 2 was was a post about the recent patch adding, like, you know, stun bars and, like, damage numbers, suggesting that there was someone new in charge of Dota who'd never played the game before. And it's like, seriously, guys? Can we not? Like, okay, first of all, it's fine to not agree with the direction that Valve is taking the game. It's possible to say that in a way that doesn't assume that everyone over there is, like, 5 years old and a moron. They've done a pretty good job of making the game so far. I bet if they did this, it was not because they have never played the game before, but because they have a different vision of what it should be than you do, because they're not obsessed with their fucking skill cap.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how many games, like, ballpark, I don't need a real number, but how many games have you played since they added this?
What do you mean? The stun bar?
The stun bar and the damage numbers.
Maybe 25.
And, like, how quickly did you just, like, start, like, unless, if shit was popping off, how quickly did you just tune out the damage numbers?
The damage numbers I actually didn't notice until yesterday.
Right? And they've been there for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's just like, unless they're, like, when, like, you're a support, like, in the laning phase hitting a tower, and there's nothing else to pay attention to, you're like, oh, 5, 5, 5. That's neat. But, yeah. Like, it's not, you'll tune it out when shit's popping off. It's not distracting in that way. I think it's actually really well implemented. I think it's great for explaining to new people. I think if you think it's going to make the game, like, for casuals, you're out of your goddamn mind. And also, like, guys, you know why our game isn't getting that much bigger? It's because it's such a fucking nightmare to get into.
Yeah, it's super hard.
It is, like, I see people who I like a lot and want to spend more time with, and they say, should I get into Dota? And I would love to just say, absolutely, but I cannot say that. I sort of, like, I put my hands on the table and I say, listen, how serious are you? Because this game's such a nightmare to get into.
I think that, okay, so, okay, I'm going to try to be, I think it's going to sound like I'm trying to be inflammatory, but I'm really not. But we are, as Dota players, and people who care about the game, not just, like, super casual Dota players, we are extremely fortunate to, like, be obsessed with this game that is constantly evolving and changing. And I think that's a huge reason of, or a huge part of the reason why, like, we stick with this game is because it's constantly, like, fresh and, like, new, and there's people who work on changing it and keeping it, like, It's not like the people who work on Dota are making these changes like stun bars or like hero changes. They're not doing it for them. They're doing it for us to give us like a more interesting fucking game to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And with that is going to come like some experimenting, and it's going to come with some changes that may make the game easier, or there have certainly been changes that make the game harder. So, I mean, just suck it up at some point, you know? I think, like, when there was, like, the icon at the bottom, that was, like, something that people spoke up about, and then it changed, and maybe that was something that, like, maybe that was a little bit excessive, but look, it changed, and I don't think that stun bars and, like, damage numbers is that big of a deal. I don't know, but yeah. It's definitely, like, a freedom of speech kind of debate to have, where at one point, like, yeah, we do have freedom of speech on the r/Dota 2 to, like, speak our mind about, okay, these stun bars and all this. But, like, at what point do you have something better to do?
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, I, like, my tone is so irritable because the, like, it wasn't someone being like, here's why I think this is bad for the game. It's someone being like, here's why I think they fucking handed the game to some intern. It's like, okay, let's look at every other MOBA out there. How many of them do you not have to pay for characters? How many of them can you not in some way buy, like, runes or masteries or some other fucking power improvement for your character? What other fucking MOBA is free to get into and free to continue to play and never sells you a single thing that affects gameplay? Like, do you fuckers realize how goddamn lucky we are?
Yeah, it's a good game. It is a really good game.
It's a good game. And please, please be vocal about what you think should change, what you think shouldn't, when mistakes are made in development. But always keep in mind what we've got here.
Yeah, I think it's the tone, right? The tone that you would say that it's an intern and not somebody like actively trying to make the game better for you and other people who play it. Like, you can, I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't speak your mind about the game, because once again, like, we're really fortunate to have that opportunity. But when you use a tone like that, that's like inflammatory, or I don't know, it kind of hinders progress in the game, and it seems like ungrateful. And I'm not saying you have to be grateful to Valve for making a game, but like, it's just a little bit bitchy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and even if you like, even if you're like, fuck respect, why should I show respect, right? Even if you want to take that approach, it's like, well, okay, they're probably not going to listen to you if you're being a dick about it. Other people who might have agreed with you will now not, and not back you because you're being a dick about it. It's like, the way in which you present your argument is what defines what type of argument it is. Is it you publicly trying to, like, fucking dunk on someone, or is it you trying to get something fucking done?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel weird saying this, but I really like the Dota 2 subreddit. I think it's a really positive thing for this game and this community, and mm-hmm. I think some awesome stuff has come out of it. But you gotta, it's got its dark side too, and the dark side has been fairly prevalent lately, I assume, because we've gone so long without a major patch. But like, come on, guys, be better.
Yeah, I agree.
And obviously, you know, like, guys, you know who you are. I'm sure, you know, I hate to do the, like, not all, you know, not all Dotaers, but, like, of course, there are some people listening to this who are just like, fucking, what are you yelling at me for? I didn't do shit. It's like, well, then get angry with me. Come on, jump on board. Plenty of rage. So, I had a pretty great experience with the open qualifiers, actually, for the Boston Major.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything. That's, like, a really a recurring thing recently on Bottle Crows, like, you teach me about stuff, which I guess is helpful, but...
I mean, I can't teach you about playing the game because you're better at it than me, but I could teach you about everything around it.
Let me just, real quick, there you go. I don't think that I'm better than you. I really don't. I think that maybe, like, my MMR is higher because I talk a lot in solo games, and I think that's why I have a higher MMR than some people, but I've definitely hit a wall recently. Anyways.
Well, you know what? We'll have to settle this one of these days. We'll have to live stream 1v1 mid and just, you know, oh, clear.
I'd rather hang myself with my own rope.
I mean, you've seen my Wind Ranger. Like, yeah. Here's the secret about me as a carry. I am a really good fighter. I am so fucking bad at farming. Mm-hmm. So, like, if the game goes late enough, I will become terrifying. But I'm not good at getting there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I've been watching some of the open qualifiers, and the best experience I had with it, and the way I think, God, anyone should experience the open qualifiers is, if you can, sit down with someone else who knows Dota somewhat, and just get drunk, and like have a conversation and barely pay attention. It's so great! I sat down with, you know, host Emily, and a 12-pack of Limeritas, because that's how I roll. And man, watching Veggies, you know, the team that is made up of casters and stuff,
yeah,
like get to the finals of the American Open qualifier and almost make it through was awesome, and it was really fun. And you just looked up now and then, and you're like, oh yeah, they're getting the shit kicked out of them, huh?
Yep.
Really fun. And yeah, like in the past I've kind of just been like, open qualifiers, why would I, like, I don't want to waste my time on anything that isn't like the best teams playing the best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are different ways you can appreciate Dota, and there's something to be said for only kind of paying attention. honestly.
Yeah, I think that watching other teams play in the league that I'm in is also super fun. I mean, people, like, even when you're watching with a caster, like, people are going to do really dumb things that, from an observer's perspective, like, look really dumb, but then you're like, oh, I do shit like that every goddamn time I play. And it's fun, like, it's definitely a learning experience, but it's, if you don't want to sit there and learn the whole time, then you can just, like, take pleasure in laughing at other people's misfortune, which is also fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to see, like, you get to see the quirks of how people play different characters, and it's really, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Do you think there was a lot of, like, quirkiness in the open qualifiers, too?
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, I don't know, you saw, like, weird builds. I feel like the biggest thing you saw was people just getting really bad cases of the nerves because it's, you know, this is for the Boston Major, this is for all the marbles. I watched an Earthshaker go on a Rubik, and he missed his Fissure, blinked in, missed his Enchant Totem, missed his Echo Slam, and then got murdered. It's like, oh, buddy, you had the nerves so bad there.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you got this far. You got to where you were in this tournament. And I mean, like, you know, it's the open qualifiers. He wasn't fucking playing for $5 million or anything, but, like, he's not some 1K scrub. He knows how to play the game, and he's just panicking because fucking there's a person, like, there's probably, you know, like, there's a professional caster on the other end of the line watching everything he does and broadcasting it to people and talking about how he's fucking up.
Yeah.
And God, I would collapse under that.
Dude, even having you cast our games, like, we just played, we can talk about it in a little bit, but we just played a game in the Amateur Dota 2 League and got completely rolled over. And just, like, you ended up, like, not being at the other end casting because your computer pooped out, but, like, mm-hmm. we thought that you were, and I thought that you were, and just, like, that amount of pressure is a lot, like, it's embarrassing, you know, like, being crushed, yeah. like, 36-4 or something like that. Like, the game is over. They have racks at 16 minutes or something. And it's like,
and it
feels bad, man.
Yeah, and I feel like as a caster also, like, it's kind of your job to not beat up on people about it, but also not, you know, not ignore the reality either, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, I mean, if you ever, like, watch someone's replay and you're, I don't know, there are definitely, like, times where the caster will be like, well, I don't know about this choice, I would do that. Maybe that, like, that's, there are times when that you're objectively right as a caster, but I don't know, man, if I were to go back and, like, look at you casting our game, and I got mad that you were like, oh, he made a mistake right here, then that's not your problem, that's my problem, that I'm getting mad at it, and mad about that, and, like, not learning from my mistakes. Like, you're
sure, but it's also just being a good caster, right? Like, okay, what are you, like, there are times when it's like, oh man, he went for Blink Dagger, and he really should have gone for 4-staff against this lineup, let me talk about the strengths of that, right? But then there's also times where it's like, oh, he went Aghanim's, I don't know about this, And you don't say anything else, just sort of like, disgruntled, you know, sounds. And it's like,
yeah,
it's really hard to stop yourself because that's what you're thinking and you've got to fill the air. But what does that do? What does that accomplish? You're just kind of knocking a player from your position atop the pedestal where you can see everything that is happening in the game, and they do not have that benefit. And, like, fucking, what are you really doing besides patting yourself on the back for your game knowledge? It's a tricky hole that you can fall into.
Casting is definitely like a tightrope walk, you know? You have that freedom to say whatever you want. But, I don't know, dude. You definitely need to find a spot where you're providing entertainment for people in an objective. It's almost like you're like a journalist or like, you know what I'm saying? You're a reporter in the moment, and it's your job to be fair, and you have the freedom to interject your own, like, subjective opinion, but if you go too far, then you're kind of taking away from, like, you're being disrespectful and therefore taking a little bit out of the watching experience. It's definitely
totally.
Like, yeah,
it's a really interesting challenge, but it's a challenge for sure. And honestly, like, other than my computer being a piece of garbage, I feel like the biggest challenges I've had is like, okay, you're casting and you're doing camera work, and you're also trying to like, so you're like, you're doing casting on what is happening at the moment. You're trying to also analyze the meta strategy. You're also trying to do the camera work. And there's a fourth step that some people pull off that now that I've done it a few times, I have no fucking idea how, which is what I just messed up there, trying to keep yourself from swearing too much. Like, that's a thing that some people make the effort to. I have no idea how you would do that with all the other things you are doing.
Yeah. I guarantee you, if you and I casted a game, which, by the way, I want to do, I think you need, come back to it, but I have a hard time not swearing, like, in any situation. Like, I swear in front of my parents, and I feel bad about it, but I think you and I should cast a game together, because you, like, there was a game that you casted where we came back and won in a very miraculous fashion, and you were like, oh, God, oh, you did it. Oh, you bastards, you did it. And I would have been completely losing my head about it. And I think that would have been an interesting... Like, there's a... I feel like every caster pair has a blitz and a cap, you know? And and I feel like I would be a cap to your blitz.
Aw, that's such a... That's a really sweet mental image.
Do you know
image.
What I'm
and
saying,
also, I just got. I do. And I think that's, like... You can't just throw any two random casters together and get that, but I do think that's a really important dynamic.
Yeah.
You need someone who conveys the emotion and someone who's really fixated on communication. Like, okay, here's a dumb thing, right? Last week, or was it earlier this week? I don't know. I played a match with your team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I played on a scrim with your team. And we got on game, and we got on mic, and everyone did like a quick like mic check. And the immediate response was that, like, I just sounded better and more crisp than everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's not that I have an amazing mic. I mean, this is a good microphone, but I'm just, like, I have trained myself to enunciate pretty clearly and yet pretty quickly to communicate very well. And I think that's, like, that speaks to what my style is, I guess. I want to be the guy who's like... trying to look a little deeper, and I'm going to miss some stuff in the play-by-play, and a guy like you would be great for helping me with that. But I want to figure out, like, what they're thinking and where they're going.
Yeah. And I just want to, like, yell about stuff.
Yeah, we should definitely cast something together. That'd be really fun.
Yeah. We should, I mean, I think I'm...
And plus, your computer's better than mine, so you can do the recording. This is great.
I have never tried it. Actually, it's I have so tried it, it's, and it was really bad, so maybe not.
Okay, well, we'll figure something out.
Like, name a casting duo. Name a casting duo. Who's... I don't know. Who, other than Blitz and Cap is a big one.
I mean, like, Merlini and Toby used to be one, right?
Exactly. That's Merlini. I mean, Merlini is the analyst, or the, you know, the calm guy, and then... Toby is the, oh my god, it's a disaster guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very popular thing for casters to do, and I think that, I mean, we wouldn't be super good at it right away, but I think it would be fun.
You don't get better at anything without practice. I mean, like, you know, you should have heard some of the first podcasts I ever did. And I'm not saying I'm amazing at it now. But if you don't think I'm good at this, just imagine how bad it must have been.
Yeah, better than you were.
Yeah, yep. much. So, let's talk about someone who's not better than they've been. Let's talk about what's going on with Na'Vi.
Okay.
Have you seen any of this?
Mm-mm.
They are falling apart in a way that is... Like, there must be some really bad, internal issues right now. There's been some Light of Heaven made some comments about how there were a lot of fights happening, and Dendi was like, I don't know what he's talking about, but I think Dendi was just covering because he wanted things to work out, because, like, they played a competitive match, I think it was, like, yesterday or something, where they were, like, they had the game in the bag, and then just, like, something happened, and they just threw really hard, so hard it almost looked intentional. It's just like some conversation happened among that team and they just flipped out. And they've just been a mess. And I wonder if Na'Vi is like there's a person who works for Na'Vi as a media worker who tweeted today. And this is a translation, so it won't be spot on, but, quote, it looks like sunset for the team.
Oh.
Like, they're just unraveling.
Yeah.
And
they're definitely, like, one of the Dota 2 brands, and that's depressing. I've never been, like, I think I started playing Dota well after they were huge, you know, but I don't know. It just goes to show, I guess, that this, like, being a professional esports player, but I think, like, particularly being a professional Dota player is so difficult to maintain. Like, it's so difficult to find that balance of, like, being a teammate. And it's hard to nail down why, like, so many Dota teams are so hostile with each other and flame out, you know, but I don't know, dude.
I mean, they're put in these positions, right, where it's like, okay, like, we're living in a team house. We don't get, like, I mean, not all of them, obviously, but a lot of the major ones, it's like, okay, we're living in a team house, so we don't get a lot of time away from each other, and any people living together for an extended period of time will start to grate on each other. Plus, like, you have the fact that, like, oh, I'm living with this guy, and, like, sure, he's been my roommate for the last few months, and that was okay, and now I'm gonna go home and fucking sleep in a bed next to the guy who fucked up and cost us, you know, $100,000, right? Yeah. Like, he just fucked up, and, like, we talked about it, and the captain said, conversation's over, stop, and it's like, but I still gotta fucking go home and live next to this guy. And then there's, you know, like, trying out different strategies and the different ways, like, the way drafting has shuffled around on Na'Vi, right? It's, there's that extra responsibility of, like, Dendi drafts for them sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And that's a weird thing, because I've never thought of him as, like, a super tactically minded player. And, like, what does it, like, what does Soneko, who was their drafter for a while, think when it's like, oh, I can't be drafter anymore? What are you saying about me? You know, it's just like there's so much potential, and these are all also fairly young people who have so much of their themselves and their self-worth tied up in this game and their performance at this game. It's just an emotional powder keg.
Yeah. I wish we could compare it, like, I want to make the comparison to soccer players, because they're, like, they have dedicated positions the same way that Dota players do, and maybe, like, a goalie is, like, the same thing as someone who drafts. They have, like, a goalie, if you don't watch soccer or you're not super into soccer, a goalie does much more than just block balls. He's also, like, the defensive captain most of the time, and he's a playmaker and a shot caller during the game. And I don't know, I think there you can draw a lot of parallels in, like, the positioning, but also in the length of the game and the stakes of the game. Like, if you're fucking up in a soccer game, if you're behind 3-0, then it's also a similarly frustrating, like, occasion for you to just have to pretty much sit there and wait for the clock to run out so you can go home. But, like, then we can contrast the two by saying that professional soccer players and, like, for the most part, professional athletes don't have to go home and live with each other. They are extremely well paid, and they go back to, like, most likely a decent house and a family. And I think maybe a big part of the reason why Dota teams and professional Dota players are, like, they are under so much pressure is that the legitimacy of their profession is under a lot of, like, it's not as immediately accepted as, like, a professional, like, athlete. is...
Yeah, a lot of the world offers it a lot more scrutiny. They have a lot of trouble getting, like, visas a lot of the time.
Yeah, and because it's so... I feel like that inherently makes the profession of just being, like, a professional esports player, or professional Dota player, like, that makes that community, or that, like... That makes that profession, like, extremely volatile. And if you are suddenly not at the very top, or you are in danger of not being at the very top, then, like, shit gets super hostile towards you. And this is all speculation, because I don't know what it's like, but if you are suddenly not a Boston major contender, then, like, what else? You're back to living at, you know, I don't know, you're back to living at... with meager wages, and that's like mm-hmm. a huge fall from being someone who wins a couple million dollars. And like the fact that you can make that fall so quickly is, I don't know, man, like it sucks that it happens to teams like Na'Vi or even OG, where they flame out super hard. And I think OG probably flamed out harder than Na'Vi, who was more of like a slow burn as they lost players and kind of lost that glue that made them the iconic, like, you know, the iconic Na'Vi, which is they're just crazy run at faces style kind of wild boys, I guess, and slowly they kind of lost that identity and they lost their glue, that whatever glue it was that kept the team together, and they kind of burned out. But what I'm saying is, like, as soon as you're not a huge contender, then the pressure, like, you lose that legitimacy, and mm-hmm. people must be frantic to keep that, you know?
And we've said it so many times, but obviously this is one of those things that a league system would help so much. Like, having... I mean, you're never... I'm not going to say never, but it's going to be a long time before we have, like, teams for New York and Chicago, right?
Yeah.
But you could get, like, teams that are salary paid and don't have to be terrified that they're going to be all fired because they lost a LAN. And there is one other thing I want to go back to real quick in as far as comparing, like, esports pro players versus, you know, sports players. If Eli Manning of the New York Giants finishes a game and is like, okay, I need to work on it. I need to get better. I need to do some more training, right? He can go do some, like, practice football or some football drills. He can also go lift weights or run, right?
Yeah.
You want to get better at Dota, there's no other way but more Dota.
Yeah.
You can't get away from the game. And I can only imagine how oppressive that must feel at times.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel it. We are, in our amateur leagues, we are experiencing our first losses of either league. Well, actually, only in the amateur Dota 2 league, we're getting our first losses. We lost a game last week, and we just lost two. But, like, I am extremely busy at work right now, and I'm also planning to move soon, like, full-time girlfriend and all this, and, like, we're losing now, and I feel like one of the games that we lost was largely my fault because I drafted poorly. Mm. And what I need to do to get better at that is just watch more Dota. And, like, right now, the overwhelming taste of Dota for me is a bad one because we are losing. And, like, mm-hmm. it's fucked up that, like, I need to push through that feeling, that bad taste, and say, guess I gotta watch more now to get better. Like, that's so fucked, you know? It's a difficult thing to, like, push yourself to do, but I guess I'm gonna try.
And I guess on air we'll have a personal moment here, right? Which is, like, if you ever want to talk about, like, drafting with someone who, like, I haven't done a ton of it, but I, you know, you've seen me on commentary, I try and analyze drafts as I go. Yeah. I have some thoughts. I'd be happy to try and help with that, and not because I think my insight would make it, like, you'd learn so much more, but it might help the thing have a different tenor, because I think that's a big part of the success if you want to get better at Dota. Like, just find a way to make the different parts of Dota feel different, right? Like, pros who stream, part of them streaming is because they want revenue, of course.
Yeah.
But another part of it is it's a way for them to practice their individual play in a way that doesn't feel the same as a scrim. And makes it feel different and kind, I won't say fresh, because they do a lot of streaming. But, like, if it was all exactly the same, they'd go crazy.
Yeah.
And as amateurs, we have to think about that, too. So if you want someone to practice some drafting stuff too, some watch some VODs with, I'd be happy to be there, make some jokes, also offer a little bit of feedback, and maybe make it feel less of it. Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
That would be like the best of both worlds for that.
I mean, you stay in touch, you let me know.
Alright.
We should not plan too much on air, but
Just watch Colin's YouTube channel, and if we do, then we'll tweet about it or
I should tweet some of that VOD stuff on the official Bottle Crow Twitter, which is Bottle Crow at Twitter, and I'll tweet out some of the VOD stuff I've been working on. If you want to send me your own VODs, you can send them to bottlecrowreborn@gmail.com or to my personal email cadettmar@gmail.com, and I'll take a look at your VODs and maybe I'll cast them and put them up on my channel. You may note, listeners, that Bottle Crow email is different. I thought bottlecrowpodcast@gmail.com was forwarding to my other address, and it wasn't. It literally never has, which explains a lot. And I went to go fix that, and it wouldn't let me get into the account.
Womp,
so
womp.
I built a new one. Yeah. I am very sorry to anyone who has sent questions, comments, feedback to that email address and just never gotten any kind of response. Hey, I fucked up.
It's all good.
I fucked up a long time ago, as it turns out. So you can't really hold it against me anymore. That's how this works, right?
Yeah, don't hold a grudge, guys. We're trying our best over here.
So we have Team NP, Envy's new team, has secured its first sponsor. It's FYM, a hot sauce.
Nice.
Who's apparently...
Who's on NP, Colin?
Oh, NP is... okay, I'm going to see if I can do this off the top of my head. Are you ready for this?
Yep, I'm going to look it up and tell you how wrong you are.
It's Eternal Envy.
Oh, okay.
It's AOI 2000.
Yeah.
It's SVG.
Mm-hmm.
It's MSS. And it's 1437.
Yeah.
I think. So
you are absolutely 100% correct. Ding, 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 ding. You get a bottle of free hot sauce.
Man, I hope so. I hear this stuff's really good. It's like a small... small company in, I think, like, in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, bottling hot sauce for an enthusiast crowd, and apparently it's really good, and I like hot sauce, so I actually am probably going to order, I'm probably going to chip into the Envy Fund, I guess, indirectly. I don't know, I don't feel bad about that. Fucking Envy's the greatest. Fuck all y'all. Like... over the arc of this podcast, okay. Over the now 37 episodes plus specials,
you get your hot
sauce. The arc of my feelings about Eternal Envy have this has been a saga.
They've gone from bad to good to hot. That's my joke for the podcast. Man, I'll see you guys later.
Good work, good work, man. I'm proud of you,
Kill
Jesse.
Me now.
Well,
that's cool.
I don't know. It's interesting to see sponsors that aren't just, like, obviously, clearly gaming get into things. And, I don't know. It's weird. It's great. I'm a fan.
I am, too, actually. I am, too. Yeah, please. I might order some. This is a stupid conversation for a podcast that we're having.
Well, I have one more topic for us today, which is about Elimination Mode 2.0.
Okay, that's the CIS tournament?
No,
nope.
Actually, you're thinking of Epicenter. Elimination Mode is run by Moonduck. It is a tournament that they ran last year, wherein basically... So, you start a series, right? You start, let's say, a best of three.
Yep.
And the first game, obviously, 10 heroes are picked and 10 heroes are banned. In game two... You cannot pick any heroes that were picked or banned in the first game.
Yep, those heroes are off the table.
And then in game three, from one and two. And that format has, like, watching it last year, like, just forced people to pick really weird, crazy teams that were just really fun, and you saw heroes that weren't in the meta, and it was just a really good time.
Yeah, I remember watching that, actually. I watched that one. I watched the tournament.
Excellent. Well, guess what? This year, there's an extra twist. Every day at the beginning of the tournament, well, at the beginning of each day of the tournament, 10 heroes will be banned for the entire day based on user vote. You can go in and pre-ban people with your votes. I really like this idea.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No Tinker this entire tournament.
Fuck. No Lifestealer. Hate it.
Oh, God, I hate Life. There was a brief period, Jesse. There was a period of a couple of months where I was like, I love every part of Dota, and I am at peace with all of the heroes, and none of this is frustrating or garbage. And then fucking Lifestealer got big, and Tinker got big, and these motherfuckers. I hate these heroes.
We're almost there. We're pushing. We're almost there, Colin. We're almost to the Monkey King, and then we'll see a whole brand new breed of dick just swinging around the trees, and there's going
to
be so many.
Lying to me.
There's going to be
It's going to be a month and a half. You're lying to me.
We're almost there. We're almost. I know right before the podcast, you were like, Jesse, I need more Harambe jokes. Like, wait, Colin, there's a Monkey King coming. There's
Did
just going
really
to be
just...
so much more Harambe jokes.
Did you really just. On my show, Jesse. On my show.
I'm so fucking tired of Harambe jokes. Colin, let me get really real with you for a second. No more stupid Harambe jokes. It's the fucking worst, bro.
It's not good.
Mm-mm.
We're not that good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, we'll have another podcast for you in 2 weeks. Hey, I'm gonna try and make sure that we get a patch note special for the next big patch, and I'm not counting another like 6.88G, like a real proper cast. We're gonna try and get another patch note special out for you whenever that happens. Probably December 12th. It's possible there'll be something no WoW before then, but in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us. This podcast is a production of Scanline Media. If you want to check out some writing and stuff that I do, and also a few of my friends do, at scanlinemedia.com about games in general, that would be very much appreciated. And if you want to contribute to our Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia, that will help us cover more things and get new equipment. It's been floated that maybe I should get a new CPU so I can encode video, but we'll see. I'm not... Yeah.
Did somebody float that to you? Did you float it to yourself?
Actually, it was not me. It was not me.
Okay.
So I was complaining to a friend of mine who helps write on the site, and they were like, you know, we get money sometimes, and I was like, I'll think about it. I don't know if that's a good use of the money. Anyway, if you want to send us any emails, questions, or comments, you can go to bottlecrowreborn@gmail.com with those emails, or you can go to our Twitter at bottlecrowpodcast. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We've got an RSS feed. We're on SoundCloud. It's getting kind of ridiculous how many services we're on. Check us out there.
Yep.
Give us reviews.
Give us a review. I left a review for the podcast. It literally takes 30 seconds, maybe a minute. And like a lot of... It helps out a lot because right now we don't even have enough for the reviews to show up. And a lot of, like, the way we get new listeners by people recommending the podcast to other people, but then also people like me who found out about Bottle Crow by literally going into the podcast app and typing in Dota 2. And what I did first was, like, look at which podcast had the most reviews. And I'll be honest, Bottle Crow wasn't the first one, but I landed on it because I liked it the most. And I think a lot of people, like, that is the order in which the podcasts come up. It's like, this one has the most, and this one has the second most reviews, and this one has the third most reviews, etc. But it would help the podcast out a lot. It's very quick if you leave a review. And if we ever meet in person, I'll give you a back rub.
Man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
A back rub from Jesse. He doesn't offer those for free, you know.
Nope.
Thanks so much, guys. We will check you next episode. I always almost say next week, and then I remember this is bi-weekly. But we'll see you next time.
Later, guys.